So we come this evening to the book of Proverbs, and at this point we are crossing the halfway point of our journey through the books of the Old Testament. And let's face it, Proverbs is a weird book. It is like no other in the Bible. Reading it, you feel sometimes like a BB in a tin can as you ricochet from this verse to that and something else. There seems to be no flow or rhyme or reason. Almost no two verses are on the same topic. But by way of some background, King Solomon is said in Scripture to be the wisest man who ever lived. In 1 Kings 4, we read that when he was starting out as king, God asked Solomon in a dream what he would like God to give him. And it sounded like it was a totally wide open invitation. And remarkably, of all the things that he could have asked for, he asked for wisdom. And this pleased God very much. Reading on in 1 Kings 4, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure. It really is true that God answers our prayers and often beyond what we could ask or imagine, and he did in this case. He gave him breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs. And the people of all the nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. And we're not aware that he went anywhere else. They came to him. God made him the wisest man in all the earth. And I believe that that wasn't just up till then, but that it is still true. Now, of his 3,000 proverbs that he collected, the Holy Spirit directed 800 or so of them to be written down and collected into the Bible for the sake of the church and for the sake of God's people. This is God's wisdom to us. What God gave to Solomon, he gives to us. Now, Proverbs is set up like a conversation. If you kind of, as you step back and read it, and you listen to what's going on here, there are two women who are in conversation. Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, or Dame Folly, as she's sometimes called. Proverbs shows us this great contrast between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. Now, Proverbs might be the most practical book in the Bible. It is a down-to-earth book. Of all the how-to books that you have ever read, I commend to you this one as the best of all of them. And, of course, don't miss the fact that it is completely God-centered and God-oriented. And it touches on every facet of life. All those other how-to books that you've read, this touches on every facet of the normal, practical, daily living, especially with regard to family and finances and friendships and with the world and all that it holds out to us or tempts us with. Now, as I mentioned, Proverbs 1 through 7 is sort of a table of contents and an introduction to the whole collection. And so it explains the book's purpose to impart wisdom for all of life. Now, if I were to offer you the very simplest outline for the whole book, I would say we can put it into two parts. Chapters 1 through 9 are more didactic in nature. They are like wisdom speeches. They read more like speeches. And then when you get to chapter 10, it says at the beginning, the Proverbs of Solomon. And from 10 to 22 are just proverb after proverb. Then there's a couple of other collections of Proverbs, then another set of Solomon's Proverbs, and then it ends with two sets of Proverbs from two men that we don't know much about. But really, to simplify it, 1 through 9, wisdom speeches, 10 through 31, the actual list of Proverbs, the collection of wise sayings, with some other, with a variety of collections in that midst. Now, as you read through Proverbs, as I said, first you can kind of listen for the voices of these two women that are speaking, but you can also read through it and watch out for all the characters that are included in the book, and you'll see them over and over again, scattered all throughout. There's the sluggard, and there's the fool, and there's the wicked, and there's the simple, and the wise, and the righteous. And you'll hear their, you'll hear them, you'll see them throughout. Now, what are proverbs? Well, a proverb is a short, pithy, generally common, popular saying that communicates truth or advice or an observation of in an easily remembered form, often using figures of speech, and it puts in a nutshell some truth, some wisdom. All languages, all cultures have them, and I know that we have hundreds of them in our own culture and language. Is Gene Tinklin? Oh, Gene Tinklinburg's here. He has given me one of my most favorite. If you have to eat a frog, don't take too many bites. Good wisdom. But there's just hundreds of those kinds of things in every language and tongue. Wise sayings, to the point, easy to remember. Now, here's some things about Proverbs that we need to remember. They are not commands. They're not promises. They're not hard and fast rules. They're not absolute truths, but they are true. They're not axioms like in geometry that all triangles must have three sides. That's an absolute. They're more aphorisms. They're generally true. They're true, but they're not true necessarily in every situation or circumstance. And so the question to ask of each proverb as we come to it is not, is this true, but rather, how is this true? So they give us generalizations about how life works. If you're a betting man, they give you a good idea of which way to bet. But, as you know, in a horse race, while you generally might bet on the horse with the best odds, it doesn't always happen. The horse doesn't always win. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I said that's not a command, it's not a promise, it's not a hard and fast rule. But it is generally true. But sometimes you can train up a child in the way he is to go, and then he departs from the right way. And sometimes there's a child who's not been trained up in the right way at all, and somehow manages to find it later in life. Or Proverbs 10:4, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. Again, not a promise, not a guarantee, not a command, but it's generally true. But there are some people who are born into great wealth and they can be lazy all their life. And there are other people who work hard all their life, diligently, but somehow circumstances are such that they don't have much to show for it. So, Proverbs are not guarantees, but they're guidelines. Practical insight into how to live a good life and how to avoid a bad life. All things being equal, if you follow this advice, life will go well. And but they must always be interpreted with common sense and good judgment. So they speak to us of wisdom, and how is it that we get this wisdom? Now, Proverbs, like Ecclesiastes and Job especially, these other wisdom books, they deal with philosophy. And what is a philosopher? A philosopher is a lover of wisdom. That's what the word means. Now, there is a fundamental difference between the wisdom that you find in the philosophy that you find in the world and the philosophy that you find in the wisdom books. All the other philosophies out there, if you take a class in philosophy or whatever, all of those philosophies out there, they begin with questions. What is the meaning of the universe? What is the meaning of life? What or who is God? Hebrew philosophy doesn't begin that way. Hebrew philosophy begins with an affirmation. The fundamental affirmation of Hebrew philosophy is in Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And again in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is not a question about whether or not there is a God. It is an affirmation that indeed God exists and He has revealed Himself, and His wisdom to us can be known. God is the storehouse of wisdom. And ultimately, we can only find wisdom in God. Now, I know some of you might not consider yourself to be very book smart or highly educated. I think there are still among us those who graduated from eighth grade and then graduated into the home or the barn. And so sometimes we kind of think that, you know, we don't have quite the education that we'd like to have. But here's the reality. For every single person here, you are able to be wise, to have insight and discernment and understanding in the ways of God and of life. Wisdom is not the product of good grades. Oh, that it would be. But how many people have all kinds of degrees and are foolish? Wisdom comes from God, from His Spirit, from His Word. Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Whatever else in this life you get, and if you're really wise, you will get wisdom first. If you get wisdom first, then you will know what to do with whatever else you get in life. And this is held out to all of us. So desiring wisdom is the first step in getting wisdom. Fools don't seek it. In all of your working and striving and attaining, get wisdom. Proverbs 4:8, prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. There you hear that female voice of the Lady Wisdom. The book of Proverbs is an absolute gold mine of wisdom. In Proverbs 3:13-14, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit is better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. In Proverbs 8:10-11, take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Take this to heart. Especially when you consider in this world of ours, money is the great competitor to wisdom, if you will. Most people seek money more than wisdom. And they make getting money and what it buys more of a priority than getting wisdom. And so the proverb says, the fool and his money are often parted. Get wisdom. Solomon, not only the wisest man in the world, but the richest man in the world. And speaking from personal experience, he tells us it's far better to have wisdom than gold or silver, than all the riches of the world. And yet this richest and wisest man in the world failed to live up to his own words. And he pursued the very sins that he warned about. And then in the first chapters of Proverbs, you read that this instruction is to my son, he says, to my son, listen. And his son, Rehoboam, he's a train wreck from the beginning. And it spelled disaster for Israel. And that was when Israel was divided as a nation. Desire wisdom over everything else. And if we desire it, then the next step to obtaining it is to ask for it. Pray, be like Solomon, and ask for wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. In Colossians 1:9, we have not ceased to pray for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And again, back to Proverbs 2:3 and following. If you call out for insight, if you ask, if you pray, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Ask God for wisdom daily. Ask him again and again. Ask him for wisdom in every situation, in every circumstance that you're faced with. Never cease pursuing wisdom by asking for it. The next step to attaining this wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And what does this mean? I know it always strikes our ears as a bit odd to hear this word. Why should Christians fear the Lord? Wouldn't love be a better word? And of course we should love the Lord as he loves us. But the fear of the Lord means a reverence of the Lord. It means a holy awe of the Lord. It means a humble honoring of the Lord and trusting him and his wisdom completely. To fear the Lord is to love what he loves and hate what he hates. It is not a fear that causes us to distance ourselves from God, but actually the kind of fear that seeks intimacy with God. The kind of fear that we want to draw near to him in a desire to know him and obey him and enjoy him. In fact, the fear of the Lord includes fearing turning away from the Lord. Fearing the Lord means fearing to find hope in anything else but the Lord. The fear of the Lord means fearing anything that would take us away from the Lord. Desire wisdom, ask for it, fear the Lord, for that is the beginning, and seek his wisdom in his word. But always begin with prayer, even as you come to his word. Ask him to open your mind and your heart. Ask God to speak to you through his word. This book, Proverbs, here we have this book, this gift to us. Practical wisdom for daily life. The very wisdom of God. As I said, it's like a mine. The rich, in one way, that it's like a mine is that the riches aren't on the surface. Wouldn't it make it easy if all the gold was on top? But you have to dig for it. And you need God's help. And so pray, read, reflect, meditate, ponder, consider, study. Blessing belongs to the diligent. And effort will pay off. No pain, no gain. Read Proverbs. And the last and most important step to gaining wisdom is to love Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:22 and following. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And in Colossians 2:3, we read that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus perfectly embodies this unique wisdom that we have in Proverbs. According to the Old Testament, the Messiah would be anointed with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And according to the New Testament, Jesus is God's gift of wisdom to sinners. We know that Solomon was a genius, but we're told that there is one greater than Solomon who has come. Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Wisdom became incarnate in Christ. If you want wisdom, follow Jesus. Take Him at His word. If you want it to go well with you in life, follow Jesus and what He says. And even if something doesn't make sense, even if you don't understand it right now, follow His way and it will lead to life. The way of wisdom is following in the way of Jesus as one of His disciples. If you don't follow the wisdom of Jesus, you're going to end up in chaos and in confusion and in misery and despair and depression and eventually death. If all we do with our kids is teach them how to tie their shoes and look both ways and say please and thank you and wash dishes and drive a car, we have not gone far enough. The home and family are where we learn who God is and what He is like and what He has done and what He says and what our relationship to Him is to be like and how His glory is over all the earth and how the fear of the Lord is the true beginning of wisdom and knowledge. The wisdom of God is available to us because Jesus paved the way. He has come to us. He has made a bloody sacrifice on the cross to make the way straight to God and to wisdom. The path of wisdom leads through the cross. Let me put it as plainly as I can. There is no wisdom apart from Jesus. You cannot know the meaning of life. You cannot know the meaning of the universe. You cannot know the meaning of anything apart from knowing Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, by whom and through whom and for whom all things were created and sustained. This means that there is no wisdom without humility, because humility is what is required to stop seeking wisdom in ourselves and in our world and from all the voices around us and on the internet and in social media. It takes humility to stop that kind of foolishness and nonsense and seek it in Christ. Proverbs points to Christ, the wisdom of God. If you have Christ, you are wise. And you are wise if you give Him to your children and grandchildren and anyone else who will listen to you. I was reading, I don't know what led me to it, but I Googled it. It says in there that human knowledge is now doubling every 12 hours. Back in 1900, it doubled every century. In 1945, it doubled like every 25 years. In 1982, it started doubling every couple of days. And now they say it's doubling every 12 hours. I don't know if that's true or not. You have to do some more searching to figure it out. And I don't know if it has to do just with data and all the things that are possible because of technology. But here's what I do know. In this information age, we cannot keep up with the ever-expanding vast amounts of knowledge and information that are flooding into our life. We can't keep up the pace. But we can increase in wisdom. And we all need wisdom to navigate this world of ours at the pace that it's going. We need wisdom to navigate the waters of home and school and work and marriage and parenting and relationships and trials and troubles and difficulties and fears and worries and doubts and all of the rest. We need wisdom to know how to control the tongue and how to handle money and how to treat women and how to deal with evil and injustice and how to treat those who are less fortunate and how to respond to the temptations that abound around us. Make sure your kids and your grandkids know this book. It was written for youth. It was written for young people, to my son, to my daughter. It was written for those starting out on life. So you can't start too early, and it's never too late to start reading the Proverbs. And if you'll notice very conveniently, it's divided into 31 chapters. And read one chapter a day, and there you go. And what should you do when you get to the end of the month? Start over. I think if you read a chapter a day, and you did that each month for 12 months, you would have riches. I commend it to you. It's a great family devotional book. Chapter a day. Proverbs reminds us that what matters, it reminds us what matters more than anything else. It gets to the root, it gets to the core. It guides us on how to live coram Deo, before the face of God, daily. From getting up in the morning, O sluggard, to building a strong foundation in our relationships with others, to dealing with life and death, Proverbs reminds us that God concerns Himself not just with the big events in our lives, but with the mundane, with the little things, the invisible moments in our lives. Brothers and sisters, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Get wisdom. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Father, I pray that by Your Holy Spirit and through Your Word, You would nurture in us the seeds of faith and wisdom. Give us a hunger and thirst for your word, and fill us with godly wisdom that we would be able to discern good and evil and right and wrong and flee from the evil one and pursue righteousness and truth, and that we would increase in the fear of the Lord. And so I ask with the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, Lord, I ask that you would give to us, your people here, the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Christ, that you would open the eyes of our hearts and enlighten us with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Teach us your ways, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.